on page Chof Chesem et Aleph. Two, four, six, eight, 10, 12, 14 lines to the top, last word on the line. Rabbi said a statement before that if you hear half the tekiah in the pit, half of the tekiah out of the pit, you're yaitzim. But if you hear half a tekiah before Amud HaShachar, meaning while it's still night, and half of it after night, then you're not yaitzim. So the Gemara asks, so Rabbi basically holds that if you hear the Kabayis, that if you hear the beginning without the end, or the end without the beginning, you're yaitzim. Because that's what he said about the pit. So the Gemara asked one question, why is it if you have a long tekiah, which is, you want to make for both. In other words, it's the last key of the first set and the first key of the next set, and you want to make one long one. So the Gemara says it's not good. So the Gemara says over there is different because you don't cut a key in half to make it two. But if you hear half a tekiah, part of it's good and part of it's no good, then you're yaitzah because you heard the tekiah. So now the Gemara says, Toshma, come up, ask you another question. We learned in the Mishnah, tekeh l'techa buried, if somebody blows shayf in a pit, or the techadus or to a cistern, meaning above the ground pit. Or the techapit is turned to a large barrel. Okay, so we learned the din is as follows. Im shakel shefer shama, if he heard the actual voice of the shefer, meaning not the echo. He heard the voice of the shefer, yati yayitza. Im kel havara yashama, but if he heard also the echo, le yati is not yayitza. Right? That's what the Gemara says. So Gemara says, amai, lepuk betchilas tkiya, why can't he fulfill the obligation by the initial blowing of the shofar? Mikame deliver out of color before the echo gets involved. When you blow a shofar, so the echo doesn't happen the first second. First you have the sound, then it takes time for it to bounce off. Then you get the echo. So the Gemara says, why does it say that if you heard half shofar, half echo, you're not yetzer? Why isn't the yetzer basically with the shofar that he heard before the echo came? So the Gemara answers, Ki kama Rabbah, when does Rabbah say his din? But tekeh va'elu l'nafshi. Basically, it's not speaking about other people. It's speaking about the blower himself. What happened? For him, one second. It's speaking, he goes up from the pit by doing so. So in other words, Rabbi says as follows. Yeah. What happened over here is that because the guy himself is blowing, okay, so therefore Rabbi says, I'm sorry. When did Rabbi say before? That if you hear half in the pit, half outside of the pit, you are Yaitzah. And the Ebraisa says, you're not Yaitzah. Rabbi says, when are you Yaitzah? When the guy himself is blowing and then goes out of the pit. Not the other people. The Ebraisa or the Mishnah is talking about other people. So if they hear, if the people are in the pit, they're Yaitzah. If they're out of the pit where they hear the echo, they're not Yaitzah. When does Rabbi say, if you blow half in the pit, half out of the pit, you are Yaitzah? Rabbi is speaking about the blower himself. Because the blower inside the pit when he blew hears the original voice of the shofar. It's only the people outside the pit that hear the echo. But because he heard it and then he goes out while he's still blowing, he hears the whole shofar. So the Gemara in fact asks such a simple question. So of course, why is Rabbi saying that then? It's, of course he hates it. He's listening to the shofar the entire time. So the Gemara says, Ma would it, I would think. Zimdim the mapik reish. Sometimes he takes out his head from the pit. And Bakati Shafer Baburn, the Shafer still is in the pit, and therefore come out of him call, he's listening to mixture of original with echo in the second Kumashman the Khidish is that he's Yates. What does it mean? Very simple. Rabbi says, if a guy himself is blowing in the pit, not anybody else. Anybody else is questionable if they heard the echo or the Shafer. And the assumption is, inside the pit, they hear the shofar. Outside of the pit, they only hear the echo of the shofar. Rabbi is speaking a case when the guy himself was standing in a pit, blew shofar, and walked out of the pit and continued blowing. So then Rabbi says, he's Yaitzah. So the Gemara asks, of course, he ate it. Inside the pit, he heard the voice of the Shefer. After the pit, he heard the voice of the Shefer. Well, what's the question over here? So the Rabbi says, the Gemara says, no. Sometimes, when the guy walks out of the pit, his head is out of the pit, but his Shefer isn't still in the pit. So I would think that maybe he's still hearing the echo. Maybe he's listening to the echo. So Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is that he's still Yaitza. He's still Yaitza. Yeah. Okay, now starts a new... Where's my Shiva coming? Oh.
Late.
Okay. Now the Gemara starts a new Gemara. Chav Ches Amir Aleph. Amir Av Yud Amir Av. Not there. Amir Av Yud... I'm not... Just Amir Av Yehuda. B'Sheifah Shal Eila. If somebody has a Sheifah for Karban Eila, he says, La Yiska, you shouldn't blow. Vim talking, if he was Yaitza, if he did blow Yaitza, you're Yaitza. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what this means. What happens if an animal was consecrated, meaning somebody was makdish an animal for a carbon eila, and then now the guy takes the horn off the animal, you don't burn the animal at the shefer on the mizbeach, not part of the carbon that you burn. Mm-hmm. A guy took the shefer off a carbon which was desecrated, consecrated for an eila, and he blew it. So he says as follows, you shouldn't do it, but if you did it, you're Yaitza.
Isn't it Hekdesh?
Yeah, it's Hekdesh. Well, one thing. B'Shefer Shel Shlamim, if a carbon Shlamim, which a carbon Shlamim is not burnt completely on the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach gets some, Hashem gets some, the Kayanim gets some. That's why it's called Shlamim, because it's peace. Everybody's happy. Eila, only God gets out of it. Shlamim, everybody gets. The Oni gets, the Kohen gets, Hashem gets. He says, what happens if this is a Shefer from an animal of a Shlamim? Lo Yiska, you shouldn't blow. Vim Taka Lo Yotza. And if you blew, you Taka Not Yotza. That means Shlamim is worse in this respect than an Eila. Even though L'cha'era, an Eila is completely for Hashem, and the Shlamim, the owner, could use part of it. Right? The Gemara says, no. By a Shefer of Eila, granted you shouldn't blow it, and we'll see why, but if you did, you did the mitzvah. Karbon Shlamim, if you did it, you're not Yetzer the mitzvah. So Gemara says, my timer, what's the reason? So Gemara says, Eila bas me'ilahu. A Karbon Eila is shayach the concept of me'ilah, I'll explain in a second. Kivin the mal, but once you mail in it, nafka le'lochul, and it becomes not hegdish anymore. Shlamim, the lav b'nei me'ila ninu, shlamim, which are not, the din of me'ila doesn't apply. But I'll explain the whole thing in a second. Isur the rachah, but it's still forbidden. Me'ida, therefore, v'leinafka l'chulin, it doesn't go out to the chulin. Okay? Meaning as follows. There's a concept of somebody accidentally uses something of hegdish. If somebody, by mistake, uses something of Hegdish, there's a din called Me'ila. He misused Hegdish, and therefore he has to pay the principal an additional fifth, and plus he has to bring a carbon Me'ila. That we read about Asham Me'ilais in Davening. Mm-hmm. Now, Me'ila is only on Shayach, on something that you're not allowed to use. Something you're allowed to use, there is no din of Me'ila, because you're allowed to use it. Right? Now, a carbon eila, you're not allowed to use. It's completely consecrated for the Mizbeach. Therefore, if you use it, you have a problem with me'ila. Okay, you did the aveid of me'ila, and you have to pay the principal and a fifth plus a carbon. But the Gemara says, once you were moil in Hegdish, it's not Hegdish anymore. That's the din. If somebody misuses Hegdish, by mistake, they make it non-Hegdish already. Okay? So therefore, the Gemara says very simple. Eila, there's a din of Me'ila. So, Lachatchila, are you allowed to use the Shefer of Eila? No, it's Hegdish. You're not allowed to use it. But if you did, you were mailed by Hegdish. Right? So therefore, it's already not Hegdish anymore. So when you blew it, you blew from a non-Hegdish animal. Yeah, you have to pay the principal, but that's a separate din. Once you use the animal, the Shefer, it's not Hegdish anymore. Shlomim, there's no din of Me'ilah in Shlomim. Because Shlomim, like I said before, everybody gets a part of it. So there's no Me'ilah, right? So it remained Hegdish. If it remained Hegdish, you can't blow it. And even B'diyevid, you're not Yetzim. In other words, because Shlomim is easier, as far as Me'ilah goes, right? That's why for Shafer it's stricter. Eila, which is stricter, you need to do Me'ilah. But once you have Me'ilah, it's not Hegdish anymore. So if it's not Hegdish, you're Yoytze with the Shafer.
What is Yoytze and you're not Yoytze? What is the Chiv? To blow or not?
Because the din is, you're not allowed to use it, the carbon.
Why do you say you will see you and not you will
see? And the Mefarshim discussed this. Mm-hmm. The discuss over here, see, Taisis Bavarns this question. Taisis says, it's speaking that when it says, B'shefer shel Eila lo yiska, is speaking b'mezid. Me'ilah is another unique din. Me'ilah is only when you do it accidentally, not purposely. Mm-hmm. Only when you do it accidentally. If somebody misuses Hegdish intentionally, there's no Me'ilah. It remains Hegdish. So that's why Taisa says, interestingly, Taisa says when the din over here says, Shefer shel Eila, you shouldn't blow, he means intentionally you shouldn't blow. But if you blew accidentally, you're Yoytze.
What's his punishment if he blows intentionally?
Huh?
What's his punishment if he does it intentionally?
Then he has to malkach face whatever the punishment is.
So is this? What is a Yoytze and you're not Yoytze?
Huh?
Is a chiv to blow or not?
Yeah, but you have to blow from an animal, from a shefer, that you're allowed to blow from. We'll see more details in the Gemara. Let's see more details and then we'll understand this Gemara better also.
Okay,
so the Gemara says, my timer, what's the reason, again, why Shefer Shel Eila, you are Yetzer, and Shefer Shel Shlomim, B'diavad, you're not Yetzer? So it says, Eila Bas Me'ilahi. By a carbon Eila, there's a din of Me'ilah. And given the mal, once you did Me'ilah, nothing, Lalo Chulin, it goes out to Chulin. So therefore, already it's not Hegdish anymore, so you're Yaitze.
Yeah.
Shlomim, the Labanei Me'ilah, Ninu. Shlomim, when there's not a Me'ilah concept. Isuro Derachabahu, it's still forbidden. But, Vle Alalo Chulin, it didn't go out to Chulin. Okay? Now, Rashi just explains over here that this horn of the Eila was taken off from the horn before the Shechita. Because the Gemara says, after you shech the korban eila, there's no me'ilah on the horn. So what are we speaking about? The guy was magdish the animal as a korban eila, and before they shecht it, he took off the horn.
It's not going to be a mum?
Huh?
A mum?
No. Taking off the... They always cut the horns off the animals today. Yeah. You sure? They shouldn't hurt anything. Okay, now the Gemara asks a very simple question. Maskev Lord Rava asks to Rav Yehuda, Eim Isma, when is the din of Me'ilah? When is the din of Me'ilah? Lebasa the Taka, after he blew it. But Kika Taka, Bisura Taka. But when he blew, it was still forbidden. He says like this, when did you misuse the Shefer? After you blew it.
Mm-hmm.
After you blew it, you used it for a personal thing. But when you blew it, there was no Me'ilah yet. So it's still forbidden. Why did the Gemara say, Eila, if you blew it, kosher? A Shefer of Eila. Because when you blow it, it's Me'ilah. Once it's Me'ilah, it's not holy anymore. So you heard it. But the Gemara says, it becomes Me'ilah after you blow it. So when you heard the Shefer, it was still Hegdish. You didn't do Me'ilah yet. Me'ilah is after you finish blowing it. Alam Rav Sitaki changes his mind. In both cases, you're Yetzer. And he says, why? Interesting concept. Mitzvahs lavli honis nitna. Mitzvahs were not given for benefit, for enjoyment. Therefore, he says very simply, what's the problem over here? The problem over here is it's a mitzvah coming through an aveda. That's the question. A mitzvah is coming through an aveda. And a mitzvah that comes through an aveda, you're not yetzer. The question over here is, the person did me'ila. So the first the Gemara thought that you did me'ila before the shofar, so when you blew the shofar, there was no me'ila, and there was already chulin. So the Gemara asked, no, you blew shofar before the me'ila. So the Rav answered very simple. You know why you're yetzer? Whether it's oil or shlomim, you're yetzer. Because me'ila means when you benefit from hegdish. That's the definition of me'ila. Right? Mm-hmm. Mitzvahs are not benefit.
What kind of mitzvah?
Any mitzvah. The Gemara says, mitzvahs lav lehonis nitna.
The wound of the shofar is
a mitzvah? No. And it says, even though you get Gan Eden, you get reward for the mitzvah, he says that's only as an indirect result. And the Gemara is going to say, what happens? The Gemara is going to get into this. What happens if I say, I make a vow, the Gemara is going to discuss it, I will have no benefit from you whatsoever. It's called Meidar Ano Mechaveri. I get into a fight with you and I say, you know what? I swear I will not have any benefit from you. That's what the guy says. Can you blow shofar for me? So then as you can blow shofar for me. I am benefiting from you and I swore I'm not going to benefit from you. Mitzvahs are not called benefit. So therefore, what's the Gemara saying now? The Gemara is saying that because mitzvahs lav lehonis nitna, mitzvahs are not for benefit. Me'ila of Hegdish is only when you benefit from Hegdish. But if you're not benefiting from Hegdish, there's no me'ila. Right? So what does the Gemara say? You're not allowed to blow a shofar. Now, Rava equates Eil and Shlomim. First, if we learned before, Eil b'diavad you yates, Shlomim b'diavad you not yates. Because this is me'ila, this is no me'ila. Rava says, forget it. By Eil and Shlomim, you're not allowed to blow the shofar. But if you did, you yates. Why are you benefiting from Hegdish? The answer is, you're not benefiting from Hegdish. Mitzvahs are not benefit. That's what the Gemara says. So now the Gemara continues and says, Amr Rav Yehuda said, another din. B'shayfer shel aveda zara, a shayfer of idol worshipping, meaning, how do you have a shayfer of aveda zara? Somebody used a shayfer for idol worshipping. Mm-hmm. You know, in service of an idol, they blew shayfer. It says, la yiska, you shouldn't blow. But, vimtaka yotza, if he did, he's yotza. It's a mitzvah coming through an aveda.
Yeah.
So the same. Well, let's see. B'shayfer shel ina nidachas. Right. Shayfer of ina nidachas. Lo yiska. You shouldn't blow. V'imtaka lo yotza. And if you blew, you're not yotza. What's ina nidachas? Ina nidachas is the whole city worships idols. The whole city worship idols. So what do you do to the city? You have to destroy and burn down the whole city. Everything in the city is forbidden to benefit from. Okay? So the din is, if somebody blows a shofar from Iran Nidachas, you're not Yetzer. But if you blow a shofar of Aveda Zara, you are Yetzer. What's the difference? So it's in my time. So it says, Iran Nidachas, it's missing in the shir. You don't have the proper shir. Meaning as follows. There's a din in halacha. Anything fit to burn is considered burnt. Anything fit to mix is considered mixed. That's the kolaroi lisrev kasarev dami. Whatever is fit to burn is considered burnt. Irani dachas is not only that you're forbidden to benefit from it. Aveda Zara, you're not allowed to benefit from. Right? But mitzvahs, we just learned, are not benefit. Right? So somebody took a shofar of Aveda Zara and blew. Right? What's the problem? you're not allowed to benefit from Aveda Zara. It's also Manah. Correct? Who cares? Mitzvah not benefit. We just said mitzvah's lav lehanes. Mitzvah's not a benefit. Correct? If mitzvah's not a benefit, you're not benefiting from idol worshipping. Because chatchil, it's something you shouldn't be touching, using. Chatchil, it's Aveda Zara, you don't use it. But b'diavad, if that's your only shofar, or somebody actually blew, you yaitza. Why? Because you didn't benefit from Aveda Zara. In Adidachas, it's a bigger problem. You don't have a shofar. The fact that it has to be burnt and destroyed means there's nothing there. It's there, but the fact that it's supposed to be destroyed makes it destroyed.
Are you supposed to destroy Aveda Zara too?
No. No. Only the idols itself. Only the idols themselves. Not something that was used for Aveda Zara. If somebody brought, let's say, food for an idol in a pot. Yeah? So because the pot was used for idol worshipping, you can't benefit from the pot. But you don't have to destroy it. You have to destroy the idols, the Torah says. But you can't benefit from the pot, right? But if you're talking about a mitzvah which is not benefit, so then the pot is not used. So then shofar, let's say, right? Here and Didachas, you have an obligation to destroy it.
Even the things they benefited from?
Yeah. There's no chiyuv.
All cities are void is over.
Huh?
The whole city is void is over.
By Ir Nidachas, there's a unique din that you have to destroy the whole city.
Yeah. It's a punishment or what?
No, the concept is. The concept is that the fact that the Torah says destroy it is considered halachically destroyed. So the story with the Rebbe. The Rebbe once told somebody that he should go back to Israel. He should go back to Israel. And he didn't listen. He happened to be a very big chassid, but he didn't listen. For whatever reason. So one time, he was the 10th one to the minyan. Mm-hmm. Shabbat Rebbe Chodakov said, there's no minyan. He's not here. He's not here. The Rebbe said, he's not here. He's here. He's not here. Can't use him. The Rebbe said he shouldn't be here. He's not here. Finished. He's here. He's not here. The Shofar is here. It's not here. Because the Torah said you have to destroy it. Everything in the Nidachas has to be destroyed. It's here. Halachically, it's not here. So the...
It's okay.
They asked this. I remember from my yeshiva days. This is a very interesting question, because according to halacha, if I steal a mitzvah from you, if I steal a mitzvah from you, I have to pay you money. You could take me to Besdin, and I can give it. There's a manna, there's a tesis. I've got. There's a taste of someone that says exactly how much it's worth. How much a mitzvah is worth.
Is it kabbal gashmis?
Yeah. Yeah. So then, how does that coincide with the rule of mitzvahs lav lanis? And I have to double check. I don't remember now. But they discussed this, by the way. In fact, they ask a different question. What do you mean? I mean, we just mentioned before you guys came. What do you mean mitzvahs lav lanis? You go to Gan Eden. That's not a no. By doing a mitzvah, no. You go to Hanah. Gan Eden, so I'm getting Hanah from you. You blow shofar for me.
Yeah?
So I'm having Hanah from you because I'm going to Gan Eden. That's indirect.
It's for sure. It's not that.
Yeah. Huh? But he's asking a mitzvah is worth money, so it's Hanah in this world also. If you're about to do a mitzvah, and I take it away from you, I steal it from you, no? You're going to help a lady, old lady cross the street, yeah, whatever. And I take her on and do it first. So there's a din. Sometimes you have to pay money.
If a person is willingly giving your word to somebody else.
Willingly, it's a different story.
Can somebody...
Can you sell your Gan Eden? Yeah, you can sell your Gan Eden. Yeah, you find stories of tzaddikim, they sold the Gan Eden. But they, you know the story of the Baditchever. Baditchever didn't have an esrog once. I'm pretty sure it was the Baditchever. Didn't have an esrog once. And there was a rich man that came to the city with a beautiful esrog. Mm-hmm. And there was no other esrog. And the Baditchever says, do me a favor, sell me the esrog. So he says, no. So he says, give me a price. The Baditchever says, give me a price. He says, if you sell me your Gan Eden, I'll give you the esrog. He wasn't joking. He says, the Baditchever, if you sell me your share in Gan Eden, I'll give you the esrog. So Baditchever thought for a while, and he said, it's a deal. And they wrote a contract. Actually wrote a contract for the deal for the esrog. The guy was very happy. He has the Baditchever's chilek in olam haba. Baditchever gave out an order in the city. Usukas, yeah? Gave out an order in the city.
I hear that.
Nobody should let this guy into their house to eat in the sukkah. He forbid everybody in the city to allow this Jew to come eat in their sukkah. Comes the first night of sukkah. He's a smart man, the Baditchever. Don't worry about it. He came the first night of sukkah. The guy's looking for a place to eat. Nobody lets him in. Can I eat in your house? No. No. So he came to the Baditchever and he said, what is this? Your city is, doesn't let me in to eat the sukkah. I have to do the mitzvah. The Baditchever says, I'll make you a deal. Sell me back my olam haba. I'll tell them to let you in for the sukkah. Sell me back. You want the mitzvah sukkah? So the guy thought for a moment and he said, but he has to do the mitzvah sukkah. Anyway, he... Father Baditchever said, listen guy, that's the deal. You want to do this mitzvah sukkah, you better sell me back my olam haba. If not, forget it. So the guy sold him back the olam haba. And the Baditchever used this, like he always did, to show God, look how great the Jews are. The mitzvah is so important for this guy. He was willing to sell my chelek and olam haba that he owned. He was willing to sell it back for God, look how great the Jews are. It was very useful in his defense of the Jews. So you have stories about people selling Gan Eden, Olam Haba. There was a doctor. There was a chassid that passed away, Erev Shavuos. He was very close with the Friedrich Rebbe. He's buried mamish next to the oil. Mm-hmm. His name was a Michal Dvorkin. It was a chassid of Friedrich Rebbe. He passed away Erev Shavuos. In the afternoon. And the Rebbe, not the Friedrich Rebbe, the Rebbe didn't want the Friedrich Rebbe to know that he passed away. Number one, because he would have had a very miserable Shavuos, because he was very close with him. Mm. And the Rebbe wanted to make the Levaya before Shavuos, but it was late. And they needed a doctor to sign the death certificate. Mm-hmm. They needed the doctor to sign the death certificate. And you can't just get a doctor to sign a death certificate, because if they don't know the patient, they can lose the license and they're finished. Mm-hmm. And there was this doctor, he later became a very big, a chassid. His name was Dr. Ness. Mm-hmm. A doctor in the olden time, you know. And this is Tovshin Tess, I think it was. It's not the year before the Friedrich Rebbe passed away. And the Rebbe came to him and said, I need you to sign the death certificate, because if not, we can't bury him. I don't know how long the negotiation went on, but he said to the Rebbe, I want to promise imi b'mechitzasi, that you will take me with you in Gan Eden. He says to the Rebbe, he wasn't the Rebbe yet, but he said to the Rebbe, he was a smart man, he said, I'll sign it on the condition that you promise me I'll be with you in Gan Eden. So the Rebbe made the deal. And I think they even wrote on a piece of paper, and he signed that certificate. And when this guy died, he put in his grave the paper that said Im Mechitzasi.
Yeah? And
I believe so. That's what they say. Yeah. When he died. That's what they say. Maybe it's not true. I don't know. But this is what the way the story is told. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Amar Rava. Rava says, Amar Dar Ana Mechaveri, the bottom third of the page. Amar Dar Ana Mechaveri, if somebody makes a vow that he will not benefit from his friend at all. Okay? Two guys get angry. Reuven says to Shimon, you know what? Forget it. I swear I will not benefit from you at all. So he's talking a lot to benefit, right? Nevertheless, Mutter Litkir Litkir Shul Mitzvah. He can blow the mitzvah of Shefer. Why? I, he forbid benefit from the Jew, but mitzvahs are not benefit. If mitzvahs are not benefit, then there's no problem listening to his Shefer. But he says, Hanei that I'm also another din, Hamei that I'm not mi Shefer, if somebody swears that they will not benefit from the Shefer itself. The guy gets angry at the Shefer. He says, I swear I will not benefit from the Shefer. The din is, Mutter Litkir Litkir Shul Mitzvah. Again, you're allowed to blow the Tkir Shul Mitzvah. Okay? Now, other people say it means somebody else can blow for him. He can't blow it. Because then he's benefiting the Shefer. Mm-hmm. But somebody else can blow for him from that Shefer. Then the Gemara says, the Amar Rava, Rava said as follows. Very interesting, cute Gemara. Hamedan Amechaveri, if somebody makes a vow, he will not benefit from his friend. Now, there's a din of Mechatas. Mechatas, if somebody comes in contact with a dead body, you know, you have to get spritz with the ashes of the, what's called the Mechatas. The ashes of the Parah Aduma, right?
Yeah.
Now, what happens if somebody swears they won't benefit from this Kohen? And now the Kohen has to squirt the ashes of the Parah Aduma on him. Is he allowed to do it?
One Kohen is there?
He's the Kohen. Can he do it?
Yeah.
Can he do it or not? So then is, Mazal of Mechatas Mesek Shamim, he's allowed to squirt the water on him during the winter, Avolei B'Mesek Shamim, not during the summer. Why? Because summer it's hot, when somebody spritzes water on you, you enjoy it. So he's benefiting from it, not the mitzvah aspect. But in the winter where it's cold, nobody wants to get spritzed with cold water in the winter. So then he's not benefiting. Yeah, he's getting the mitzvah, but mitzvah doesn't matter, right? You can't have, though, additional physical enjoyment. So the Gemara says, during the summer, when the guy squirts water at you, you're feeling good, besides the mitzvah aspect. So you're not allowed to. In the winter, you're allowed to. The same thing, if somebody makes a vow, they're not going to benefit from a spring of water. From a natural mikveh, let's say, right? So tevel ba tefillah shel mitzvah b'mesek shamim, you're allowed to tevel in the winter, but not in the summer. Because in the winter, you don't enjoy it. So you're only doing a tefillah shel mitzvah. Talking about tefillah shel mitzvah means when it's a mitzvah to tevel. Like before Yom Tov, if you became tummy, whatever it is, or a woman, whatever. But not stam, teveling. Right, for instance, for a man to go there Friday afternoon, if he's not Tomei, would not be allowed. Because then it's not a mitzvah. But if it's a mitzvah, you're not allowed to. But there's a difference between winter and summer. Then the Gemara says, but mitzvah, it has to be a mitzvah. Okay, then it says, Shochan le'avu de Shmuel, they sent to Shmuel's father the following din. Kof of ochel matzah. If somebody forced somebody to eat matzah, in other words, they forced your mouth open and they stuffed matzah down on Pesach. The din is yotza, yoyotza. So the Gemara says, Kof of man, who forced them? Ile mekof shed. If a demon forced him to do it, like in the olden times, meaning, as it says, he was possessed. Yeah, people think they got the D books and all that stuff. So then, Hatanya, we learned, eatem cholim veitem shaita. A person is sometimes normal, sometimes crazy. So kshu cholim, when he's normal, hariyah pekech lechol dvarav, he's like a healthy person. Kshesheita, when he's deranged, meaning mamish retarded, hario kshesheita, chodvar vizesheita. So then the question is, it doesn't matter. Because if he's normal, then he did the mitzvah. If he's not, he didn't do the mitzvah. So what do you mean, kafir shed? Mm-hmm. What do you mean the shed forced him to do it? Either he's free from mitzvahs or not. So then he didn't anyway fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach. Mm-hmm. Right? So if he becomes normal later, he has to eat it again. Because now he's normal. So Amar Ravashi, Ravashi said, Shakafu Parsaim, the Persians forced him to do it.
Persians?
Yeah.
Parsaim,
the Parsi. What does it mean?
The Goyim?
The Goyim. Yeah. He says he was forced to eat it under threat of bodily harm. Okay? So he knew exactly what he was doing, but he didn't eat it. And the Gemara is going to say, what's the problem over here? Why does it say he's Yaitza? I mean, why not? The bottom line is he ate the matzah. Because I would think he didn't do it for the mitzvah. The guy comes to him. Here, by the way, it doesn't mean only Persians. Don't think you're that great that the Gemara is talking about you only. The Gemara is talking about him, the Goyim, because then they were under Persian rule in the Gemara. You understand? So they said the Goyim, basically, the Goyim forced the guy to do it. So they're under Persian rule. So they said Persians. A guy comes to a guy with a gun, let's say, and says, eat matzah, I'll kill you. The night of Pesach, he says, eat matzah, I'll kill you. And the guy eats matzah. He didn't do it for the mitzvah. He did it because he didn't want to get killed. The din is, nevertheless, he did the mitzvah. He was Yetzer. As the Gemara is going to explain, mitzvahs need kavana. You need kavana, you need the intent to do a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Especially biblical mitzvahs. You need kavana. How could you say Yetzer? Mm-hmm. Okay? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava said the din. Zaysim Meres, this teaches us, Hatekeh Lishir, if somebody blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah for playing a song, not to blow shofar. He took a shofar and started blowing a song. But it so happens that he blew the right notes. You know, tkiyah. But he didn't blow it for the mitzvah. He's Yetzer. So Gemara says, Pshita Ayinu Achad, it's the same case. Basically, the Gemara thinks now that mitzvahs don't need kavana. If mitzvahs don't need kavana, then if you eat it anyway, if you hear the shofar anyway, you're good. So Gemara says, no. Ma'o detem, I would think. Hasim over there by matzah. Achol matzah, merachmane. The Torah says, eat matzah. Va'achon, bottom line is, he ate. Aval hacha, but he's over here. Zichon truk siv, the Torah says, has to be a remembrance of shofar. That means you have to be aware that it's shofar. Va'misasik ba'amu, and he's tam misasik. Meaning, he's just doing it for no particular reason. Kamashman, the chiddush is it good. But the Gemara is going now with the premise, meanwhile, because it's getting late. The Gemara is going with a premise, meanwhile, that mitzvahs don't need kavana. Because if mitzvahs need kavana, blowing shofar for a musical instrument is not going to be good. Or for that matter, right now, the Gemara thinks, eating matzah, forced, you're also not good. What? By the way, in the halacha, there's a big difference. I just want to say something. There's a big difference if a Jew forces you or if a guy forces you to do a mitzvah. Moshe, there's a din by a get. If a guy refuses to give a get to his wife, and Bezdin forces you to give the get, Bezdin kaifin I say, like the Rambam says, Ache mereitzani, it's good. But the halacha is, if a guy forces you to give a get, it's not good. And that's why there's a big, big controversy, what's called the get law. In the state of New York, there's a whole argument between the Rabbanim in New York about this issue. They wanted to enforce a law in New York that if a husband refuses to give a get, that the courts can force you to give a get. They wanted to give, because otherwise a lot of women weren't getting gitten, and they stayed a gunis, and the husbands were going out, you know, running away, and then the women were stuck. So they wanted to pass a law that the government itself should force. It's all a question with church and state, you know, can you mix the government into religious matters? But a lot of Rabbanim were against it. There's articles and things written on this by the millions, you know, about, there's another problem they write, because if a Goyish court forces you to give a get, it's a Goyish forcing, it's not necessarily good. Mm-hmm. What?
if you put on tefillin with somebody and he has no kavanah, you just put on tefillin with him and he doesn't concentrate.
We're going to see in the Gemara, because now it's late, but the next piece of Gemara goes, what do you mean? Mitzvahs don't need kavanah, mitzvahs do need kavanah. Yeah, so how is the guy who was playing shofar as a trumpet, so to speak, not for the mitzvah? Your yaitzah, if a guy forced you to eat mat, you know what I mean? So we'll see. The Gemara is going to go into that mitzvah next week.